Please open your Bibles this evening to 1 Samuel. We'll be having two readings tonight, one from chapter 18 and one from chapter 20. The first reading will be chapters 18, verses 1 to 4. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. The second reading will be from chapter 20, verses 13 to 17. But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely, if I do not let you know and send you away in peace. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father, but show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself.
Well, 2 weeks ago, Ben spoke to us about the first place, which is family, and how belonging to one means that you have an inheritance from that family, even if that inheritance is a particular nose profile. One that, on account of my Irish heritage, I can sympathise with. We learn that ultimately we are invited to be a part of the family of God and of the inheritance that comes with that. Last week, James spoke on the second place, which was work, where we continued with the inheritance that was planned for those in God's family, but saw the consequences of sin in a broken relationship with God, and where work became a curse for Adam and Eve. In truth, the largest proportion of my time is spent between family and work, and perhaps this is the same for you. The third place you might spend time is also with friends, which is what we're here to hear from tonight. As Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so tonight I'd like to share with you an excellent friendship, that of David and Jonathan, as it's recorded in Samuel. But first, let me begin with a word of prayer before I get into the rest of the talk. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to speak amongst friends tonight. I pray that as we study and explore your word tonight, that you'll speak to our hearts, that we might draw closer in a lasting relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, that this relationship is good, one of kindness, support, and love. I pray that through your example in this, we might have the same kind of relationship with each other and those we know also throughout our week. One that is out of kindness, support, and a love that is lasting. Amen. Who do you call friends and why? Today we can have a lot of friends, particularly if you're on social media. You could friend who you like, and they may or may not friend you back, depending upon how confronting your profile picture might be. But who do you consider your close friends, and why is this? An excellent friendship to look at is that of David and Jonathan. But to understand the friendship that David and Jonathan shared, I'll be moving through 1 Samuel a bit, so be prepared to turn some pages. David and Jonathan came from two very different families, and so also came from very different backgrounds. We can see, however, that the closeness of their friendship was one that came from their relationship with God. Jonathan was the son of Saul. And with this, his title, he was the Prince of Israel, as Saul was the king. To be an heir for Saul, moreover than simply claiming kingship, as a birthright, Jonathan would also need to acquire the respect and trust of the men his father led in order to one day take over the armies of Israel. If we turn back to Samuel 14:8, we can read of how this comes to pass during Israel's battle with the Philistines. Jonathan and his armor bearer approached the Philistines. So I'll start reading from chapter 14, verse 8. Jonathan said, "Come on, then. We will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." Now, of course, the Philistines numbered many and had spotted only Jonathan and his armor bearer, and so called them up to fight. Continuing from verse 14. I'll read from verse 14. "In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God." This gains the respect and trust of the men in his father's army, securing his position to inherit command of them. As is confirmed when the men protect and rescue Jonathan from the death sentence after he innocently violated a decree by his father. This trust in God aligns Jonathan's actions with God's will and positions him well for the inheritance of Israel's kingship. But we later see how Jonathan continues to trust in God rather than seeking the worldly inheritance he could easily have secured, as this inheritance was actually promised to another, and that was David. By stark contrast, David was the youngest son of Jesse, whom tended sheep and could play the lyre. His family and social position did not suggest that he would be able to command men, as Jonathan was well positioned to. We soon also learn, though, of David's dependence and trust in the Lord when a champion of Philistine, Goliath, mocks the armies of Israel. I'll continue reading from Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, where David confronts Goliath despite objections from his brothers and Saul. From verse 45, "David said to the Philistine, 'You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" Despite David's brothers and Saul recognizing that his family and upbringing did not position him to fight in the army, through dependence and trust in the Lord, David is able to defeat Goliath. And it is after this that Jonathan recognizes David for this, his dependence and love for the Lord, where we come to read from the first half of the Bible reading that James read for us, which I'll now read from 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. "After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David, because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt." It is a shared love in God that Jonathan and David become one in spirit. This means that they are unified in following God and his will, which becomes clear in that David is to inherit the position of king and not Jonathan. Have you ever been able to truly say this about a friend, that you've loved them as yourself? To deal with their struggles and challenges the same as if they were your own? It is difficult, and I know in this regard, with many that I've considered friends, I myself have failed to be this way. Many a time when it comes to sharing food, particularly sweets. It is David and Jonathan's shared love for God that forges their friendship in a powerful way here, so much so that Jonathan is compelled to make a covenant with David, in which he takes off his robe, tunic, sword, bow, and belt, and he gives them to David, which is much more than a gift of just material possessions. The covenant that Jonathan is making here with David is a gift in the inheritance of his kingship. A dependence and trust in God will transform the way we view family, work, and friends, as it did with Jonathan and David, and will produce lasting friendships that reflect the character of God. In his kindness, generosity, and love, as we continue to read from 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 13, Jonathan makes another covenant that is in agreement with David. So I'll read from chapter 20, verse 13. But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely. If I do not let you know and send you away in peace, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness, like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as himself. As it was with the succession of a new royal family at the time, the new king might have chosen to secure his position and his lineage by removing or killing off the ancestors of his or the descendants of the previous lineage. The covenant or agreement that they make is that David will not withhold kindness from Jonathan's family, and he's asked for a kindness by Jonathan like the Lord's. This again points to the foundation of their friendship, which evidently what Jonathan asks is much more than David choosing not to harm his family. But what we come to see later is that David cannot harm Saul, who's his father, Jonathan's father, whom chooses to hunt and attempts to kill David. This we see in chapter 24, verse 3, where Saul is hunting David across the land. So I'll read from chapter 24, verse 3. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give you your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. How tempted David would have been to have killed Saul in that moment. To do so would have meant that Saul could no longer hunt David, as David had been on the run for a while. That David's very life would be safe from the intent of Saul. The men David is hiding in the cave with, when Saul appears, urge him to kill Saul, and say to David that this is the day that the Lord spoke of. David does go so far as to cut off the corner from Saul's robe, but does not kill him, remembering the covenant that he made with Jonathan. The covenant David makes with Jonathan was made before God, who is at the foundation of their friendship. And we see in this moment, despite a temptation to seemingly choose life over death, David chooses to uphold his covenant with Jonathan and also with God, and so maintaining their relationship. As we continue to read from verse 5 following on. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is anointed of the Lord. With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Here David recognizes that Saul was anointed by God to lead Israel as their king. At this point, there is a realization of the temptation that he'd just faced. David recognizes here that the rule of Saul was established by God, and so killing Saul would have defied God in this. The men who were with David, whom he rebuked, had their lives equally on the line with David's. For if Saul had found them, they would have all been put to death, which is what we see happen to the priests of Nod earlier, who were killed for assisting David when he was fleeing from Saul. We see that David's trust in God, despite the desperate urging against this trust by those men around him, allows David to maintain his covenant with Jonathan, and that their friendship might last through this. What's much more is this trust in God allows David to spare Saul's life and treat Saul like a friend, even though Saul considered David his enemy. And though they were enemies, David treated Saul with kindness and love. After the death of Saul and his sons in battle against the Philistines, much later on, the extent of David's love for both Saul and Jonathan is clear in the lament he teaches the people of Judah, which at its conclusion we read in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 25. David's grief for Jonathan is clear. So I'll just read the end of the lament. Verse 25. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How excellent their friendship that David would choose to remember both Saul and Jonathan in this way, in which Saul's mentioned prior in the lament. Of all your friends that you might wish to treat with kindness and love, who are your enemies and how do you plan to treat them? Now today, enemy might be a bit of a strong word. You might choose arch nemesis, or perhaps they're just that annoying person in your group of friends. There's got to be at least one. Or work or at home. The example of this friendship between David and Jonathan is excellent indeed, but it did not stop with just them. The friendship they had was also available to those they walked with, even their enemies. The kindness, love, support, closeness, and lasting relationship that David and Jonathan held was by their faith in God that they were one in spirit. And it points the relationship that Jesus offers us to be one in spirit with him. Before I close, I'd like to close with a quick word of prayer. I'd just like to share with you a passage from Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'll just close with a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for such an excellent example in the friendship of David and Jonathan, that their friendship would be closer than that of a brother. Thank you, Lord, that this same love that we all desire, you have freely offered through your Son, that we might always be invited as friends and even closer into a close relationship with you. Amen.